We're continuing Chapter 3 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. And they just arrived at the Weasley's house, and they had just been yelled at by Mrs. Weasley. But then she was nice to Harry and asked him to come in. So, the kitchen was small and rather cramped. There was a scrubbed wooden table and chairs in the middle, and Harry sat down on the edge of his seat, looking around. He'd never been in a wizard's house before. The clock on the wall opposite him had only one hand and no numbers at all. Written around the edge were things like, time to make tea, time to feed the chickens, and you're late. Books were stacked three deep on the mantelpiece, with books with titles like, Charm Your Own Cheese, Enchantment in Baking, and One Minute Feasts, It's Magic. And unless Harry's ears were deceiving him, the old radio next to the sink had just announced that coming up was Witching Hour with the popular singing sorceress Celestina Warbeck. Mrs. Weasley was clattering around, cooking breakfast a little haphazardly, throwing dirty looks at her sons as she threw sausages into the frying pan. Every now and then she muttered things like, don't know what you were thinking of, and never would have believed it. I don't blame you, dear, she assured Harry, tipping 8 or 9 sausages on his plate. Arthur and I have been worried about you too. Just last night we were saying we'd come and get you ourselves if you hadn't ridden back to Ron by Friday. But really, she was now adding 3 fried eggs to his plate. Flying in a legal car halfway across the country. Anyone could have seen you. She flicked her wand casually at the dishes in the sink, which began to clean themselves, clinking gently in the background. It was cloudy, Mom, said Fred. You'll keep your mouth closed while you're eating, Mrs. Weasley snapped. They were starving him, Mom, said George. And you, said Mrs. Weasley. But it was with a slightly softened expression that she started cutting Harry bread and buttering it for him. At that moment, there was a diversion in the form of a small, red-headed figure in a long nightdress, who appeared in the kitchen, gave a small squeal, and ran out again. Ginny, said Ron in an undertone to Harry, my sister. She's been talking about you all summer.
No comments.
You're the one that made the comment.
I did not make a comment.
You made the comment about no comments. I know the comment. The comment is that she just wants to say hi to Harry.
No, she doesn't want to say hi to Harry. She's embarrassed.
She's embarrassed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she'll be wanting your autograph, Harry, said Fred with a grin, but he caught his mother's eye and bent his face over his plate without another word. Nothing more was said until all 4 plates were clean, which took a surprisingly short time. Blimey, I'm tired, yawned Fred, setting down his knife and fork at last. I think I'll go to bed and... You will not, snapped Mrs. Weasley. It's your own fault you've been up all night. You're going to denome the garden for me. They're getting completely out of hand again. Oh, Mom. And you too, she said, glaring at Ron and George. You can go up to bed, dear, she added to Harry. You didn't ask them to fly that wretched car. But Harry, who felt wide awake, said quickly, I'll help Ron. I've never seen a denoming. It's very sweet of you, dear, but it's dull work, said Mrs. Weasley. Now let's see what Lockhart's got to say on the subject. And she pulled a heavy book from the stack on the mantelpiece. George groaned again. Mom, we know how to denome a garden. Harry looked at the cover of Mrs. Weasley's book, written across it in fancy gold letters, were the words, Gilderoy Lockhart's Guide to Household Pests. There was a big photograph of a very good-looking wizard with wavy blonde hair and bright blue eyes. Always in the wizarding world, the photograph was moving. The wizard, who Harry supposed was Gilderoy Lockhart, kept winking cheerily up at them all. Mrs. Weasley beamed down at him. Oh, he is marvelous, she said. He knows his household pests all right. It's a wonderful book. Mum fancies him, said Fred, in a very audible whisper. Don't be so ridiculous, Fred, said Mrs. Weasley, her cheeks rather pink. All right, if you think you know better than Lockhart, you can go on and get on with it. And woe betide you if there's a single gnome in that garden when I come to inspect it. Yawning and grumbling, the Weasleys slouched outside with Harry behind them. The garden was large, and in Harry's eyes, exactly what a garden should be. The Dursleys wouldn't have liked it. There were plenty of weeds, and the grass needed cutting. But there were gnarled trees all around the walls, plants Harry had never seen, spilling from every flower bed, and a big green pond full of frogs. Muggles have garden gnomes too, you know, Harry told Ron as they crossed the lawn. Yeah, I've seen those things that they think are gnomes, said Ron, bent double with his head in the peony bush. Like fat little Santa Clauses with fishing rods. There was a scuffling noise. The peony bush shuddered and Ron straightened up. This is a gnome, he said grimly. Grow off me, squealed the gnome. It was certainly nothing like Santa Claus. It was small and leathery-looking, with a large, knobby, bald head exactly like a potato. Ron held it at arm's length as it kicked at him with its horny little feet. He grasped it around the ankles and turned it upside down. This is what you have to do, he said. He raised the gnome above his head. Grow off me! And started to swing it around in great circles like a lasso. Seeing the shocked look on Harry's face, Ron added, It doesn't hurt them. You just got to make them really dizzy so they can't find their way back to their gnome holes. This is an example of the Wizarding World being very, like, very mean to sentient beings. Like, this, I know it's supposed to be an animal, but, like, it can sort of speak. Like, this thing is more human than, you know, than any animal, way more than chimps, right? It can almost speak English. It's a little weird that they're, like, swinging it around and then chucking it, you know? Anyways. He let go of the gnome's ankles. It flew 20 feet in the air and landed with a thud in the field over the hedge. Pitiful, said Fred. I bet I can get mine beyond that stump. Harry quickly learned not to feel too sorry for the gnomes. He decided just to drop the first one he caught over the hedge, but the gnome, sensing weakness, sank its razor-sharp teeth into Harry's finger, and he had a hard time shaking it off until... Wow, Harry, that must have been 50 feet. Soon the air was thick with flying gnomes. See, they're not too bright, said George, seizing five or six gnomes at once. The moment they know the denoming's going on, they storm up to have a look. You'd think they'd have learned now to just stay put. Soon, the crowd of gnomes in the field started walking away in a straggling line, their little shoulders hunched. They'll be back, said Ron, as they watched the gnomes disappear into the hedge on the other side of the field. They love it here. Dad's too soft for them. He thinks they're funny. Just then, the front door slammed. He's back, said George. Dad's home. They hurried through the garden and back to the house. Mr. Weasley was slumped in the kitchen chair with his glasses off and his eyes closed. He was a thin man, going bald, but the little hair he had was as red as any of his children. He was wearing long green robes which were dusty and travel-worn. What a night, he mumbled, groping for a teapot as they all sat down around him. 9 raids. 9. An old man, Douglas Fletcher, tried to put a hex on me and I had my back turned. Mr. Weasley took a long gulp of tea and sighed. Find anything, Dad? Said Fred eagerly. All I got were a few shrinking door keys and a biting kettle, nodded Mr. Weasley. There's some pretty nasty stuff that wasn't my department, though. Mortlick was taken away for questioning about some extremely odd ferrets. That's the Committee on Experimental Charms, thank goodness. Why would anyone bother making door keys shrink? Said George. Just muggle baiting, sighed Mr. Weasley. Sell them a key that keeps shrinking to nothing so they can never find it when they need it. Of course, it's very hard to convict anyone, because no muggle would admit their key keeps shrinking. They'll insist they just keep losing it. Bless them, they'll go to any lengths to ignore magic even with just staring them in the face. But the things are a lot if taken to enchanting, you wouldn't believe. Like cars, for instance? Mrs. Weasley had appeared, holding a long poker like a sword. Mr. Weasley's eyes jerked open. He stared guiltily at his wife. Cars, Molly? Yes, Arthur, cars, said Mrs. Weasley, her eyes flashing. Imagine a wizard buying a rusty old car and telling his wife all he wanted to do with it was take it apart to see how it worked, while he really enchanted it to make it fly. Mr. Weasley blinked. Well, dear, I think you'll find that he would be quite within the law to do that, even if he maybe would have been better to tell his wife the truth. There's a loophole in the law, you'll find. As long as he wasn't intending to fly the car, the fact that the car could fly wouldn't... Arthur Weasley, you made sure there was a loophole when you wrote that law, shouted Mrs. Weasley, just so you could carry on tinkering with all that muggle rubbish in your shed. And for your information, Harry arrived this morning in the car you weren't intending to fly. Harry? Said Mr. Weasley, blankly. Harry who? He looked around, saw Harry, and jumped. "Good Lord, is it Harry Potter? Very pleased to meet you. Ron's told us so much about it." "Your sons flew that car to Harry's house and back last night," shouted Mr. Weasley. "What have you got to say about that, eh?" "Did you really?" said Mr. Weasley eagerly. "Did it go all right? I mean..." He faltered as sparks flew from Mrs. Weasley's eyes. "That was very wrong, boys. Very wrong indeed." "Let's leave them to it," Ron muttered to Harry as Mrs. Weasley swelled like a bullfrog. "Come on, I'll show you my bedroom." They slipped out of the kitchen and down a narrow passageway to an uneven staircase, which wound its way zigzagging up through the house. On the third landing, a door stood ajar. Harry caught sight of a pair of bright brown eyes staring at him before it closed with a snap. "Ginny," said Ron. "You don't know how weird it is for her to be this shy. She normally never shuts up." They climbed two more flights until they reached a door with peeling paint and a small plaque on it saying Ronald's Room. Harry stepped in, his head almost touching the ceiling, and blinked. It was like walking into a furnace. Nearly everything in Ron's room seemed to be a violent shade of orange. The bedspread, the walls, even the ceiling. Then Harry realized that Ron had covered nearly every inch of shabby wallpaper with posters of the same seven witches and wizards, all wearing bright orange robes, carrying broomsticks, and waving energetically. "Your Quidditch team?" said Harry. "The Chudley Cannons," said Ron, pointing at the orange bedspread, which was emblazoned with two giant black C's, a speeding cannonball. "Ninth in the league." Ron's school spellbooks were stacked untidily in a corner, next to a pile of comics that seemed to feature The Adventures of Martin Miggs, the Mad Muggle. Ron's magic wand was lying on top of a fish tank full of frog spawn on the windowsill, and next to his fat gray rat, Scabbers, who was snoozing in a patch of sun. Harry stepped over a pack of self-shuffling playing cards on the floor and looked out of the tiny window. In the field far below, he could see a gang of gnomes sneaking one by one back through the Weasley's hedge. Then he turned to look at Ron, who was watching him almost nervously as though waiting for his opinion. "It's a bit small," said Ron quickly. "Not like that room you had with the muggles. And I'm right underneath the ghoul in the attic. He's always banging on pipes and groaning." But Harry, grinning widely, said, "This is the best house I've ever been in." Ron's ears went pink. And that's the end of Chapter 3. And Chapter 4 is called At Flourish and Blots. I hope you like that, my kitten boo. Sleep well, baby girl. Good night.